Friday, January 22nd. The day began dreary and rainy. We just made it through the inaugural with sunny skies. This morning I worked with Bess on some important mail, especially an attempt to return graciously some gifts. Gifts constitute one of the problems of this office. We are perfectly willing to accept all of a friend's time and brain and sweat in our behalf, but gifts of monetary value from any but the closest friends lay uneasy on the shelf. That is one reason why I'm anxious to get the library set up as soon as possible and have asked Clark Clifford to get me the letters of association, or whatever the piece of paper is called, that set up the Truman Library, the Eisenhower Library, and the Kennedy Library, if they are available to the public. During the morning, we had some serious discussion about the filling of posts. Now that the inaugural is over, the time has come for some changes. Three people were earnestly talked about for one of the most sensitive jobs. Jack, Bill, and I, listening and putting in our opinions. Abe was our choice. A.W. is leaving for an REA meeting in Florida and will return by Alabama to visit my land, decide about planting more pine trees, and try to reassess the present manager. I went down to see Dr. Travail. She has handed in her resignation and it has been accepted. I told her how much we had all come to love her, how we needed and valued her, and particularly that I wanted Lucy to keep on being her patient if she settled in Washington. We simply must, as a family, back up Lyndon in his economy and government program. The White House now has three doctors, and it can get along on two. Dr. Travail made it as easy a meeting as possible. She treated me for my cold, which is really getting quite obnoxious. I went to the theater with Linda to see the White House story, a documentary, which we plan to show to the congressional wives while Lyndon, Secretary Rush, Secretary McNamara, and so forth are briefing their husbands in at least a large part of the 10 congressional receptions we are slated to have. Last year, we did the second floor, so that's out, except for the new ones. Lyndon obviously isn't going to get his nap this afternoon. It's apparently being another hard day at congressional work. So in the late afternoon, Linda, Warren Lynn, and I set out by automobile for Camp David on our long postponed self-indulgent vacation trip together. And what nicer companions could there be than Linda and Wari? We had plans of inviting up the Dukes for dinner one night, maybe. Maybe the Lee and Stuart Udall to talk beautification. Maybe somebody to play bridge. Rain and fog closed around us, and when we turned off the road up into the Catoctin Mountains, it looked like we were lost to the world. And then, at the door of Camp David, a fire was burning brightly on the hearth. There was the big picture window, looked out onto the fog. You felt like humming, "Oh, the weather outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful." We sat down to a delicious dinner, and then we saw a Walt Disney movie, Mary Poppins, quite fey and enchanting. And then I went to bed, surrounded by suitcases full of read and file mail and projects to work on. But I chose instead a metal box full of letters that will someday rest in our library. Letters from Lyndon to me, written in September and October and November of 1934, and from me to him about the same time, and there were a few from him in succeeding years on up to 1940. Though I haven't read them in 10 or possibly more years, I have kept them and held on to them somehow through moves from at least 16 different residences over a period of more than 30 years. I spent about 2 hours reading them, and the passage of time only makes them more interesting. The importunate young man of 26 was very fresh in my mind and clear and exciting when I turned out the light to go to sleep a little past 11 on this, the first night of my vacation.